We're really pleased that you guys are here, and we hope that you'll take this month to invite people to come and check this out, to come and be a part of what God is doing here, because we believe that God is doing some great things here. Our vision is simply this. We want to be a people that are experiencing God's beautiful restoration, both in our own lives and in the city that we live in, the city of Hartford. And our mission is very simple. We're going to do a couple things every time we gather. We're going to glorify Jesus Christ, and we're going to bless the city of Hartford. So when we gather on Sunday mornings or in worship, we glorify Jesus Christ together. And our outward focus, our mission, is to bless the city of Hartford in any and every way that we can. We are guided by three values, the three values you've probably seen in a lot of places, and those are to love all, to serve all, and to welcome all. So these next 3 weeks, I'm going to talk about our values a little bit and explain where they come from and why they're so important to us. So today we're going to begin with the value of love all, and I'm really excited that I get to talk about love, because those of you who know me for a long time know that I never ever talk about love, do I, Gerald? But anyhow, if you would, let's pray. Let's pray for a minute. Lord Jesus, in this moment, I just want to ask that your presence would be magnified in this place, that you would speak to us through your word this morning, God, and that you would challenge and encourage our hearts. And Lord, we lift these things up in Jesus' name. Amen. And if, is Krista here? Krista has volunteered, one of our college students, to come, or somebody volunteered her, to come and read scripture this morning. So Krista, if you'll come and read our scripture, it's Mark chapter 12, if you guys want to turn there in your Bibles. We have a couple extra Bibles, don't we, Phil? Do we have some up there? We have just one. If anyone needs a Bible, see Phil in the back. He'll make sure that you get one. Or you can pull out your phones, your electronic devices. But Krista, would you lead us in the reading of God's word?
Hi. Good morning. Very happy to be here. And I just wanted to say that I really feel like this church is a family. And so that's why I continually come back. And being a college student at Trinity College is not necessarily the easiest thing, but coming here makes me feel very loved. So I'm going to be reading Mark 12, verses 28 through 34. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disrupting with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have surely said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart, with all my heart, and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions."
Amen. Thank you. So when we're going to talk about love this morning, we need to understand what love really is, right? That's the question. Everybody says, okay, you want to talk about love. Love's the most important thing. Well, what is love, right? What is love anyhow? Where do we learn about love? We must admit that we live, I think, in a culture, in a society that is obsessed by love, are we not? I mean, just look at the movies, look at television, look at the books, look at the songs, look at the poems, look at the plays, look around you at advertising. So much has to do with relationships, right? And falling in love and finding that special person. And we have to admit, if we even just look, especially at music, like take a look at pop songs of the last 50 or even 100 years, how many of them are about love, right? How many songs that you listen to are about love? It's always coming in that it's about love. And it got me thinking, what if all we knew about love was from songs? Right? Because sometimes that's where we learn about love. I'm going to admit, when I was a younger person, I listened to a lot of songs. A lot of songs were about love. And I thought that's where I was learning what true love was, you know, from the radio, from the songs I was listening to. And I thought, what if we took all that we learn about love from pop songs and we just kind of mashed them up together? What would we know about love? Well, it might sound something like this. All we need is love. Because love makes the world go round. Love lifts us up where we belong, and that is the power of love. You see this crazy little thing called love? I might as well admit it, I'm addicted to love. I know that love is more than a feeling, and that you can't hurry love, and that we need a higher love. But today I just called to say, I love you. Because I'm worried that you've lost that love and feeling. You know, we used to be crazy. crazy in love, but now I'm all out of love. I mean, it's even got me questioning, where is the love? What's love got to do with it? Can we find love in a hopeless place? Can you feel the love tonight? Because when a man loves a woman, I can't fight this feeling any longer. I want to know what love is, and I want you to show me that one love, that endless love, that greatest love, that you light up my life kind of love. Because I had a vision of love, and I want to know that in the end, we did it all for the glory of love, right? You see, because I just can't stop loving you because I got you, babe. And you and me, we got a groovy kind of love. And that love don't cost a thing, so it's a love story. Come on, baby, just say yes. Please? Hello? No, that's another song. I don't know. Well, fortunately, that's not where we discover what true love is all about. Where we discover true love is really from the source of love, which is God himself. As we're going to see in just a minute, God is love. And therefore, we learn about true love from God and from his word and from what he teaches us about love. And so we're going to look at that this morning and try to understand what true love is and how can we truly love all, which means to love God, to love others, and to love ourselves as well, right? So in our value that we put of love all is important because we believe that love is the most important thing. So we put it in our values. And if you want to know more about what we believe, there's this brochure that we have that's going to be available at the lunch tables today. And it can explain a little more about what we believe about love. We have some convictions about love that we believe, and they come from Scripture. I want to look at those in just a moment. We also have free gifts for everybody today. We have this little bracelet that says love all, serve all, welcome all, so that's down there. We have pens to give away. We have the Gospel of John to give away, and we have more stuff coming in the weeks to come because it didn't all arrive at the same time, but we got all kinds of gifts, and it's for everybody. Because, you know, you may be, it's going to be, you're all first-time visitors today, okay? So this, it's our grand opening. Everybody gets a gift, all right? I feel like Oprah. Everybody gets a gift. It's a bracelet and a pen for now, but it'll keep going up. You'll see. It'll be exciting. But again, it reminds us to love all, serve all, welcome all. So what are our convictions at Hartford City Church? Why do we think love all is the first value and the most important value? Well, it's because of these four things. Number one, we believe that love is the most important and powerful force in the entire universe. Listen to the words of Romans chapter 8, and they'll be on the screen behind me as well. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39. Paul writes, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There is nothing more powerful, any force you can imagine, that can separate us from God's love. That's how powerful God's love is. It's the most powerful thing in the entire universe. We also believe that true love is best expressed through God's love for the world, through his son, Jesus Christ. And of course, we know that from a very famous verse, John chapter 3 and verse 16. It tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Amen. Jesus himself said, no greater love has anyone than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And when Jesus laid down his life on the cross, he showed us the greatest love of all. It's truly the way that God loves us, in giving us and sacrificing so that we might have life. That is true love. True love is sacrificing, giving yourself for the sake of the other. So we believe that love is the most important and powerful force in the universe, and two, that true love is expressed through God and his son, Jesus Christ. We also believe that there is nothing that's more important than love. And I believe that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 teaches this very clearly. It's a chapter of the Bible that's famous about love, but listen to these first verses that very clearly teach us how important love is and that it's more important than anything else. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, he says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. These are all great things that you can do. These are all things that we would say are important to do, right? That someone who can speak very well, someone who can challenge and motivate and lead other people, that's important. But if you don't have love, he says it's nothing. Not that it's like okay, but it's missing a piece. It's nothing without love. It's nothing without love. Listen, if you were the smartest person in the world, you could understand every mystery. And you would say, oh, well, you know, you're good. You're just missing a piece. No, no. Without love, it's not worth anything. It's emptiness. It's just sound and fury. Listen, you can even be the greatest person who is helping the world, solving the world's problem, giving away everything you have to help the poor and standing on their behalf and fighting for justice and righteousness. But if you don't have love in your heart, you gain nothing. I believe it clearly teaches that love is more important than anything else. And people will disagree with that. And if you disagree with that this morning, I humbly say, you don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with God.
Amen.
If you somehow think that love is not the most important thing in the world, and that true love is God's love expressed through Jesus Christ on the cross,
amen,
right? Then you've got a problem with God. You've been hearing something that's not true. Something maybe even has happened to you that has soured or damaged your view of what true love is all about. But love is the most important thing. Therefore, at Hartford City Church, our last thing, because we believe it's the most powerful and important, because we believe that God expresses his love through Jesus Christ to show us what true love is, and because love is more important than all of these other things, this is the last point. We will make the foundation, the structure, the motivation, the source of energy of everything we do, love. Listen to the prayer that Paul has for the church in Ephesians, from Ephesians chapter 3. He prays just that. He says, I pray that you be rooted and established in love. That's the prayer. That's our prayer. Hartford City Church is going to be rooted and established in love. That now you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. That's you all. All you all, the Lord's holy people. To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. When you're rooted and established in love, when you come together in love, when you begin to understand what real love is all about, then you're filled to all the fullness of God. The full, man, that's full. That's more than we can imagine. In fact, it even says that this love is beyond knowledge. We're trying to know something that we can't even know. That's how big this is. That's how powerful this is. That's how important this is. That love is above all. Because you see, as I said earlier, the Bible also teaches us that God is love. One of Jesus' followers, John, and John was probably the youngest disciple. He thought he was very special in God's eyes. He thought he was more loved. You really read some of the things he wrote. He had a special relationship with Jesus. He loved Jesus. Jesus loved him. He says in his letter, 1 John chapter 4, twice he says, God is love.
Amen.
And that's it. So if we want to know what true love is, that is God. And what is God? God is love. And that changes the way that we see love, right? So we've got to see everything through that filter. Let me give you an example this morning, okay, of how knowing that God is love can kind of change our perspective and our attitude towards love and help us move forward in our understanding, okay? I mentioned that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is one of the famous chapters on love. So we're going to go back there for a minute, and we're going to look at all that it has to say about love, okay? But if God is love, then let's insert God into those words, okay? So that we understand that God is these things. Because if you read about what love is in 1 Corinthians 13, it's like another one of those lists that we can't live up to, right? Love is patient, love is kind, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, it's this, it's that, the other. And you look at that and you're going, man, that is a lot. No, nobody can love like that. And the truth is, you're right. Can't nobody love anybody like that. Because it's talking about God's perfect love. And how we need to lean into God. So in other words, God is patient, right? It's not that we can find this patience on our own, but that God is patient, that God is kind, that God is not proud, that God does not dishonor others, he's not self-seeking, that God doesn't delight in evil but rejoices in the truth,
amen,
that God always protects, always protects. God always trusts. God always hopes. God always perseveres. Because God never fails.
Amen.
Wonder why it says three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Because faith is what you have in God. And hope is what you put in God. But love is God.
Amen.
God is all of those things. And when we begin to look through that lens, then we understand what true love is. Because we have a hard time understanding. And we have misconceptions about true love, don't we? In this book called Breakthrough, shout out to Krista with her big smile. She loaned me this book, and it's about how we can have breakthroughs in our lives. And in the chapter on having a breakthrough to understanding true love, he talks about this chapter, and he says, look, here's how we get off track, though, right? He says, listen, love is patient and kind, but it's not passive and conniving. In other words, love is not something that is dishonest about when you're disappointed or when you're hurt or when you're frustrated. Love is not a victim. Love does not enable or perpetuate abuse or evil, right? Love is not always looking for the approval of others. It doesn't mean losing yourself. It's not fueled by human strength. And here's the quote I wanted to share with you this morning. Get this if you get nothing else. True love is rooted and grounded in God's unconditional love, not the need to fix or control someone else. I might say that again. True love is rooted and grounded in God's unconditional love, not the need to fix or control someone else. We need to understand what true love is by looking through the lens that God is love and understanding that he teaches us and he guides us and he shows us what true love is, right? And some of the things that we think are love are not really love. They're just us trying to get love from somebody else. And even when we give into that and we play those games, that's not true love. God shows us what true love is. So let's take a look at the way that we are supposed to love God, all right? God says, listen, this is the most important thing, the most important commandment I can give you, the most important thing in your life that you can do is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what life is all about. So let's dig into that a little bit, shall we? First of all, let's look at the heart. How do we love God with all of our heart? Well, the heart really is an emotion. So it's where our feelings and affections come from. So yes, love is a feeling. It's more than a feeling, as the song says, but it is also a feeling. Love is also an action. It's a decision. It's a life force. Love is God. But love also describes those affections, those emotions, those feelings that we have. So to love God with all of our heart, right, is to put our affections and our feelings towards God. And that's a choice that we have to do because when it comes naturally, when you're just naturally attracted to something, that's not true love, right? Like if you see a picture of a puppy and everybody goes, oh, what a cute puppy, right? You don't have to choose to think that puppy's cute. Something inside of you just says, ooh, that puppy's cute. Or with babies, well, most babies, no, all babies. You say, oh, that baby's cute. Something drives that, right? That's why you get attracted to somebody, right? Somebody walks by and you're like, ooh, they catch your eye. You're like, that person looked right. Yeah? It's not, that's not love. And that's not even temptation. That's not even lust. That's not even wrong. That's just the way we're wired, right? Because, you know, little animals and little children need protection. So God made them cute so that people wouldn't want to destroy them. Right? God wanted us to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, right? So you got to be a little bit attracted to somebody if that's going to happen, okay? If you need an explanation on that, ask your parents afterwards. If you're too much, all right? Love is a choice. See, when they told me when I was a kid they called it puppy love, I thought they meant because I was like a young pup, like I was too young to understand. But no, I think what it means is that it's like being attracted to a puppy. It's just something that happens. That's not love. That's not love, because what happens to that puppy? It grows up. And it ain't so cute anymore. And there's a lot of work that goes in. How many have dogs? How many of you know that there's a lot of work? How many of you holding a dog is just cuddling your cute puppy all the time? No. Allison. Yeah, well, that's true. Your dog has never grown up, but that's a whole other story. That's enabling. We'll get to that later. what we need to do is we need to understand that we choose love, right? And so love then becomes a choice that we make to set our emotions. So when you're attracted to something, then you must choose what to do, right? There's where the choice comes in. If I'm attracted to someone, and both in the negative sense, if I'm thinking thoughts that I just want them for my own pleasure, my own gain, then those thoughts I act upon, that becomes lust, that becomes sin. Because I begin to set my emotions and my affections on something that I shouldn't. But on somebody that I should or something that I should, I can also set my emotions and my affections on that, right? Because your will, your choice, can rule your heart. It's important that we understand that if we're going to love God with all of our heart, we need to make a choice when it might not always feel like loving God. See, that's why worship songs are so great, and they can help us because music kind of gets past the mind and gets into the heart. And sometimes we feel something where we feel God's love or we're able to express God's love. But sometimes we don't feel like worshiping, right? Sometimes we don't feel it. I just don't feel close to God. I just don't feel it anymore. I'm just not having those feelings. Well, then change your feelings. Set your feelings where they should be. Direct your affections, your emotions to where they should be. The greatest example I ever saw was in this movie about King Arthur called First Knight. And Sean Connery was King Arthur and Richard Gere was Lancelot. And the king finds out that Lancelot and his wife Guinevere have this attraction to each other. And they kind of have this one moment of weakness. And the king gets upset. And he comes to Guinevere and he says, Guinevere, he's like, you know, I thought that you loved me. And he says, listen, when your heart loves two people, you've got to choose. And she says this to him. She says, I choose you. And he said, your will chooses me, but your heart chooses him. And this is what she said. She says, but my will rules my heart. I don't put such a high price on my affections because they will fade. But my will sets the course of my life. Colossians 3:1. If you want to write this down, remember, Colossians 3:1. Says, set your heart on the things above where Christ is seated. Amen. Take your heart, your affections, and set it above. And you'll understand what it means to love God with all your heart. How do we love God with all of our mind? Well, that's our thoughts, right? That's what we think about. That's our ideas. That's the mental energy that we spend. And I don't even know if we have time to love God with all of our minds, right? Because how much is on your mind, like all the time? Think about everything that we live in a society where we have to know so much information. And more than ever before, we can't just listen to the information being talked to us on TV. We got to have another information ticker tape on the bottom, and then we got to have one on the side, and then we got to have our phone open, right? So we got 5 different apps open. All this information has got to be going on all the time. I don't know how we can handle it. Think about what you think about. Think about what you think about during the week, right? You've got to think about school. You've got to think about work. You've got to think about relationships. You've got to think about family. You've got to think about your finances, about your goals, your hopes, your dreams, your hobbies, your interests. When do you ever think about God? When do you ever turn your mind towards God? What space do you have in your mind for God? When you come up with an idea, is it embedded in God's love? You need to love God with all your mind. Colossians 3:1 goes on to say, right after it says set your heart on things above, it says set your mind on things above as well. So you make a choice that you're going to love God with your thoughts, with what you think about, with your mind. You're going to give him space to think about him. And I'm telling you, you'll be transformed. You'll feel God's love. See, here's the thing. We're always responding to God's love. We love because God first loved us. So God loved you before you were born, before you were created. He saw you. And he picked you out, and he named you, and he put you together, and he's loved you for a long, long time. We're always responding to God's love. It's his love that lets us do it. How do we love God with all of our soul? That's like the deepest part of us, right? That's like the part that we're the only ones who know what's down deep down in there, right? And sometimes we don't even know what's deep down in there, really. Really, most of our lives we're trying to figure out who we really are. One of my favorite quotes is from the guy who wrote this book, All I Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. He said, we spend most of our lives impersonating ourselves. We spend most of our lives impersonating ourselves, right? What does that mean? That we're trying on identities, like so many costumes and outfits and hats and masks that we wear. And everything's about the surface. And we're constantly dealing with the surface of life. And sometimes we don't know how to go deep. We're afraid of what's inside, deep inside of us, right? But to love God with all of our soul means that we dig down deep. And I believe that we find there, more than anywhere, God's real deep love for us. And again, it's God's love that we respond to. Now, when you love God with all your soul, that means God's love consumes you, right? And let's be honest. Sometimes that's a little freaky. You ever seen somebody that's like all sold out for God? You're like, that's a little crazy, right? Those people are crazy. And sometimes we don't want to be like that. Well, I don't want to offend anyone. Well, I don't want to push anyone away. Well, I don't know what it means to be consumed by something, right? But remember that each of us is unique. Each of us is created by God in a very wonderful and unique way, so that when you understand the depths of your own soul and God's love meets you there, it will look different for you than anybody else. And you don't have to worry about anybody else. Because when you are consumed with love for God, you might look crazy to somebody else, but it doesn't matter. But you might not look crazy to somebody else. We don't know how it's going to look. I don't think we don't know how it's going to look because so many of us don't live there. We don't live consumed by God. We love God with a little bit of our heart, a little bit of our mind, some of our soul, and some of our strength. When God said, love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength.
Amen.
And strength is our energy, right?
Yes.
Strength is our energy. We think we have unlimited energy, right? You don't realize this till you're older, but you got to conserve your energy. Because when you're young, you can just go. Oh, I love those 7, 8, 9-year-old boys. They just run like crazy, right? Even 2 and 3-year-old boys. They run like crazy, crazy, crazy. And as soon as they're done, plop, they sleep. Fall asleep. Wake up, ready to go again, right? You got to sleep, right? God made us that way. We have a limited amount of time on this earth. And half of that time we have to spend asleep. It's frustrating to some of us. Some of us are like, hey, amen, I can sleep some more. It depends on where you're coming from. But God gives us a certain amount of energy. Again, where do you put your energy? If you're going to school, if you're going to work, if you're in a relationship, if you're part of a family, if you have your own hopes and dreams, if you're working out, if you have goals, if you have things that you're doing, right? If you're trying to get through what you need to get through and do the things you need to do this week, you know, you're thinking about groceries and you're thinking about food and you're thinking about, you know, every part of the situation that you're in, right? And what you need to do. What energy do you have for God? What energy, what strength do you have? Maybe then we do. We're like, love God with all of our strength. But I'm sorry, God. It's like 2% of my strength. Because I gave it all away this week. I gave all my strength away to all these other things. And I come in tired on a Sunday morning. Just worn out from the week. But you know what? God loves you.
Amen.
He's glad that you're here. And all I can do is raise a finger, not even a hand. God is happy. When I can just come and I'm like, listen, I'm just sitting here because I know I need to be filled with God's love. That's okay. Because in order to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we need to be filled with God's love, right? And then God says, listen, I have another thing to tell you. It's not that it's separate. It's one and the same. You need to love your neighbor as yourself. And he puts those two together. He says, you can't separate these two. The greatest commandment is to love God and to love others. You can't separate these two. And of course, someone says, they ask Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? What's my neighbor? Well, how do I love my neighbor? And he gives this story, right, of the Good Samaritan. Someone who sees someone in need, he stops and helps. So if you want to know what it means to love your neighbors yourself, this is where love is in action. It means to help somebody. That's just flat out it. Love is not about saying you love somebody. Love is about doing something for somebody, right? And sometimes it's right there. We just need to do something. Sometimes we need to become aware of it because we don't see it, right? Are you guys aware of what's going on in our world today? Are you aware? Do you hear that people are hurting? We need to be aware. Or we're so quick to judge. And we're so quick to criticize. And we're so quick to make a joke about something. But how many of us have sat and listened to the cries of pain and anguish from our society today, right? We need to listen and become aware of the deep hurt, the deep pain, the need that is around us. Then once we're aware, we need to make a decision that we're going to do something about it. But that decision has to lead to an action, right? Mm-hmm. So loving our neighbor as ourselves is this, becoming aware of the needs, making a decision to do something about it, and then actually doing something about it, okay? Because I want to tell you this. A decision that isn't acted upon is just an intention. As the old saying goes, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Any decision that you don't act upon is just an intention, and the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We need action. Action is what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. If you're not doing something, then it's not love. And I don't have time to show you all the verses that say that. But if you have a problem with me with that, you have a problem with God, and we can work on that together. But you have to be in action. You have to do something. You have to help somebody. That's what it means to love. And there is a third thing, isn't there? It says, love your neighbor as yourself. You're supposed to love yourself, right? I'm not talking about the way Justin Bieber says it. We don't get our lessons from pop songs, as I said. We get it from the Word of God, which says, listen, you need to take care of yourself. Because you know what? You're no good to anybody else if you don't take care of yourself. How can you help somebody if you need help, right? How can you do anything to love somebody else if you're the one who needs help? You need to receive God's love for yourself. You need to take care of yourself just a little bit, all right? Not in a prideful way, not in an arrogant way, but you need to understand that you need to take care of yourself so that when you take care of yourself by receiving God's love, you're at your best. Then you're at your best to love other people, right? Then you're at your best, right? Listen, you guys know this. Some of you know me for a long time, right? You know I'm much better at helping you when I'm rested and fed and in a good mood, right? You know I'm much better. Don't clap too loud to you, but she knows. Because when I'm tired and when I'm worn out and when I'm down to my last bar of energy on my...
What the Google?
Exactly. It's time to pray for Pastor Phil and wait till tomorrow to ask him for any help. We need to love others as we love ourselves. That means we need to take care of ourselves so that we can be at our best to help others, right? We can be at our best to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Finally, Jesus says that when you do these things, these are the greatest commandments. You know, these are the things you have to focus on. You no longer have to focus on the 600 some commandments of the Old Testament, even the 10 commandments, because you know what? If you do these things, you'll fulfill the 10 commandments, right? You ever thought about that? If you do these three things, you will fulfill the 10 commandments. I mean, think about it for a minute. If I love my neighbor, I'm not going to steal from her. I'm not going to lie about her. I'm not going to kill her. Because that's not loving my neighbor. I'm not going to want to take her stuff. I'm not going to want to sleep with her husband. Not that I would anyhow. I'm not going to want to sleep with a wife. I'm not going to want to do any of those things because that's not love. If I'm loving the other person, I'm going to fulfill the commandments. And if I'm loving God, I'm not going to worship any other gods. I'm not going to make idols. I'm not going to take the name of the Lord and then do nothing with it. To live in vain. I'm not going to do that. If I love God, I'm going to fulfill those commandments. If I love my parents, I'm not going to dishonor them. And I'm not going to be cruel to them. I'm going to take care of them. And here's the last one. You may not have noticed this. And if I love myself, I will take it one day a week to rest, to refresh, and to just receive the love of God. And if you think that's selfish, Jesus himself said, Sabbath was made for you. Sabbath was made for you. It was a gift that my Father gave to you so that you might be renewed and refreshed by the love of my Father.
Thank Amen. You, Father.
Amen. If we're going to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, if we're going to love others as we love ourselves, we need to be filled with God's love, right? So let's pray. You know, you got it. I start to get emotional. Paul plays the piano. We got it. We got it. Let's do it. Let's do it. It's time to experience God. I don't know. If you got somewhere to be, then go be somewhere. But this space right now, this is holy ground. Man, this is God's love right here. God's love. Would you just close your eyes? Would you just, even if you want to lift your hands, it's up to you. You don't have to. But if you just need to receive God's love, I just want to pray that you would receive God's love today. Maybe some of you, for the first time, need to receive God's love. I just invite you in this moment to receive, to say, God, I receive your love. To say, Jesus Christ, I invite you to come into my life. And if you prayed that prayer, we just celebrate with you. Because God has given you new life. As soon as you invite him in and receive his love, you have new life. If that's you this morning, I want you to come and tell me about it afterwards so I can rejoice and pray with you. But I want to invite us to a moment of prayer and reflection. I want us to think about in our lives, what is it that keeps us from loving God, from loving others, or maybe for loving yourself. Something that keeps us from doing that, right? And what I'm going to invite you to do is I want to invite you to come forward this morning. And we have these rocks up here. And I want this rock to just symbolize a prayer that you're going to make to God this morning. And maybe something's keeping you from loving God. I don't know what it is, but I want you to write it on here. And you don't have to write the whole word. You can write initials. You can write a symbol. But if there's something that's keeping you from loving God, loving someone else, or even loving yourself, I want you to come and write it down, and I want you to lay it by these rocks. These rocks become an altar. People throughout history have worshipped God by, and they still do it, many cultures, many faiths, by placing a rock and saying, this is my prayer. This is what I leave before God, that He might change me, that He might transform me. So I invite you, whenever you're ready, to come forward. To come forward, there's plenty of markers and rocks. To write something down and to leave it by this rock, you can stay and pray for a minute. But whatever it is that's keeping you, maybe it's even somebody you want to pray for. Maybe it's some people that are hurting in society and you want to pray for them. Again, you don't have to write the whole thing, you know, so you don't write somebody's name and then they come down and see it. You don't have to do that, okay? But just whatever might be keeping you from loving God or loving others or loving yourself, I invite you to come. I invite you to come. And just write something on here and prayerfully place it here on the stage, the altar this morning. God, we set aside this space right now by the Holy Spirit to be sacred, holy ground. God, that these prayers that are laid before you, God, that you would hear them. Go ahead. God, remove in us what keeps us from loving you, God. Path of our hearts. We might love you and we might love others.